Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Sports in the Mitten, powered by Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor. I'm your host, Adam Biggers, Michigan and Michigan State beat writer for FanRag Sports, and it is Friday, October 20th, going a little bit later than usual on a Friday. The regulars, you know, usually I try to go around lunchtime, but this pinched nerve has been just giving me a lot of problems. It moved from my back and now like in my shoulder a little bit, my like index finger's kind of numb, so I've been trying to like sleep away the pain and it doesn't really work. Anybody out there who's ever had a pinched nerve, if you have any advice, I'm all ears right now. But it sucks, and that's all I can say about that. But today we are going to get into the final look. I know I said that yesterday, but I mean, this is a big game for Michigan. And, you know, I was asked, is this a rivalry? We'll get into that kind of thing too. So I want to talk about the hiring real quick of Ron Gardenhire, the Detroit Tigers. You guys know that I love baseball. We don't really talk a whole lot about baseball. But we'll get into that just a little bit. And, of course, I'll answer your questions from the live stream. And while I'm at it, I just opened up the room. Chris Hawk, hey Chris, Aaron Wise, Big Bubble Blue, Frank Lucas, Jason Hughes, Jay Mays, 2, Sean Holtz, Leoism, Mike Sabrowski. Hey, guys. Sean says I missed the last stream here today. What's up, Biggers? Yeah, hey, Sean, sorry. I've been kind of irregular. I mean, Monday after the press conference, something Wednesday night, I've gone almost every day. I think I've gone every day except for Tuesday this week. So I'll try to tweet them out and try to get them on a regular schedule. But right now I'm just kind of fitting them in where I can. But real quick, guys, I'm going to tweet the live link. And remember, if you want the audio-only version to the podcast, you don't want to sit and watch me the live stream here, that's fine. Want the audio-only version, you can get that on iTunes. Blog Talk Radio, FanRag Sports Blog Talk Radio channel, and Google Play. So we'll also talk a little bit about Michigan State versus Indiana, if you guys want to do that. Any other questions, too? It's kind of, I'm going to say it's kind of a free form, freestyle Friday. How's that? Well, not a ton of structure. Yesterday was a pretty casual episode, so I like that, but definitely want to focus in on Michigan, Penn State, and if you guys want to talk a little bit about Ron Gardenhire, that's cool with me too. So, questions come in. Leoism, what's your thoughts on how the U of M team is feeling based on interviews with them this week? Leo, I can tell you Mason Cole knows this is a must win in terms of keep your Big Ten hopes alive. And I mean, every game's a must-win. This is important, but two, I think you have to remember that Penn State's going through like a gauntlet. I mean, it's going to be Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State, three consecutive weeks. I mean, this is going to be a big stretch, you know, for Penn State. I'm not saying the storm's over for Michigan because obviously there's Ohio State at the end of the year. I mean, this is a big game, but I feel like if Michigan can come out of this with a win, this is huge for them. They know it. They're confident. The defense is confident. I've written about that all week on FanRag Sports, so check that out. It's on my Twitter, at AdamBiggers81, at FanRag underscore U, at FanRag Sports, FanRagSports.com. So they are very much confident going into this game, and they know the implications. Hold on here. So, is LJ Scott suspended? Chris Hawk, I doubt he starts, but LJ, he'll play Saturday. Mark D'Antonio released a statement. Michigan State sent that out in an email. Mike Sabrowski says 24-20 Michigan. Mike, I predicted 21-14 Penn State. Let's see your guys' predictions, guys. Frank Lucas says Michigan defense will prove why they're the best in the nation. Frank, they're an incredible defense. So fun to watch. These guys are really confident. Check out the interviews. They're on my YouTube channel. Please like, subscribe, and share. And guys, it's already up to 825. Start of the season, I think around like 400 or 500. There are a ton of Michigan podcasts, a lot of stuff on YouTube where you can get your videos and watch podcasts and things like that. So thank all you guys for watching. I really do appreciate it. I know there are a ton of options out there. So thanks for watching. Chris Hawk, back to your question. So LJ Scott suspended? No, he has a valid driver's license now, but I mean, 7 times for similar infractions, that's a bit excessive. Matt the Destroyer says, just got new earbuds, testing them on you. All right, Matt, well, I'm happy to be your guinea pig. Thank you. Frank Lucas says, 17-14 Michigan. Matt the Destroyer, too, says, all I care about is the Ohio State game. Well, Matt, you care about this Penn State game, too, man. This is an important game. Frank Lucas, thoughts on LJ Scott play Saturday? Yeah, Frank, he's going to play. My thoughts? I mean, seven. I'm going to read this report real quick. 7th time that he's been charged with a similar offense. He was released on a PR bond, according to the Lansing State Journal. That's personal recognizance. And I actually commented a little bit earlier today with my friend Ryan Schuling, Schuling Report in East Lansing, 92.1, the team. He does a great job. And I was asking him, you know, do you expect, because Brian's a little bit closer to Michigan State football than I am. And I asked him, you know, do you expect anything kind of big? Is he still going to be on the team? And it's in, you know, his reply, which I think is pretty fair, I guess. I mean, it's not a violent crime. You know, it's not something, you know, guns. It's not domestic. It's not, you know, DUI. It's not violent or anything like that. No drugs involved. So basically, it's a crime of stupidity and repeated. And I mean, if you get caught 7 times, 1, 2, okay, get your license and check, man. I mean, really, you shouldn't even be driving at all. But 7 times, to me, that just shows like, hey, I do not give a crap. Pull me over. What's the worst that's gonna happen? 7 times. He's already gotten 6, 7 slaps on the wrist. So we'll see. But as far as, you know, a suspension, I mean, maybe suspend for a half. I think something like that would be in order. Because again, it's more of a thing of stupidity. It's not, you know, some major crime. And I'm not lessening what he did, but, you know, like I said, it's not sexual assault. It's not rape. You know, it's not drug possession, firearms, anything like that. And Mark D'Antonio's dealt with all of the above since he's been at Michigan State. So, but yeah. Anyway, 7th time he's faced a similar charge. And that's basically, those are my thoughts, Frank. Let me get back to the questions. Computers have us winning 23-21. That's interesting. Yeah, and Leo, actually, what? I don't, like I said, I don't bet. I don't pay a ton of attention to the spreads, but I do like to know what Vegas is thinking a little bit. And I think it went from 11 down to 9.5. And remember, I think odds opened up with wasn't Penn State a 3-touchdown favorite, like 22 points? So I think people are realizing, like, hey, this, I never thought it was going to be, you know, a 3-touchdown blowout. I figure this is going to be a game of race to 3 touchdowns. And I think that Penn State's better equipped to do it than Michigan is, just based on the offensive numbers. And if you guys want to talk about the offense, I wrote a little bit about that today. I mean, Trace McSorley is completing 67% of his passes. He has 13 touchdown passes, only 4 interceptions. He has the 3rd highest quarterback rating in the Big Ten. I mean, this guy's doing it. And I mean, he's got receivers. He's completed 16 or more passes to 5 different guys. 5. I mean, we have yet to see any such thing develop with a quarterback and receiver at Michigan. It looked like maybe in the beginning that Wilton and Donovan, DPJ, were going to be something, and then maybe O'Korn could continue that. You know, Kakoa Crawford early in the year, like maybe he, you know, he was essentially the number one receiver coming out of camp. Kakoa was. I mean, so, and we haven't seen anything. We haven't even seen enough really with tight ends yet. I mean, John O'Korn, I think, is better suited. He's used the tight ends a little bit, but you guys are getting the gist of what I'm saying. Like, tell me a consistent threat of the Michigan offense other than that, you know, one of 3 running backs is going to likely have a big day. Other than that, but then if you look at Penn State, then you're like, okay, well, there's Saquon Barkley, there's Saeed Blacknell, there's Deshaun Hamilton, there's Mike Gesicki. You know, there's a ton of guys. Chris Hawk says, this hurts to say. Ooh, hold on, Chris. And I'm sorry, guys, I'm slacking on these comments, a ton of them. 24-3 Penn State. Eric 313 says they will win. Aaron Wise, me too, Matt. I'll be traveling up there for the game. Aaron Wise says 24-17 Michigan. Trill City says 19-9 Michigan. Matt the Destroyer 2 says 20-13 Penn State. Grant Canfield in the house, 17-14 Michigan. Hey, Grant, how you doing? Eric 313, 17-14 Michigan. Caleb Vance, only reason why I have hope is because problems are more mental than pure ability. Big Bubba Blue says 21-14 Michigan. Not being biased, but D-line will get to backfield a lot, and that is their goal. front seven, Tyree Kennell told me, so these guys are going to get after him. I mean, that's the plan. GBF89 says, if Michigan's defense can score, Michigan will win. And GBF, I said that, you know, jokingly earlier in the week, like that would be, I mean, that to me, that has to be. I mean, because it's three touchdowns, maybe your offense can give you two. Can the defense give you one? And it's not, you know, like I said, it's not being facetious. It's being realistic. I mean, Michigan's defense has scored, what, three touchdowns this year? So, I mean, it's not something that's outside of the realm of possibility. But then again, it's almost unfair to have to, you know, well, the defense has to score. Well, the defense has to keep the other team from scoring, and you want it to score. That's been the story of the year for the Michigan defense, having to do, you know, its job and more. More comments. Matt the Destroyer says Quinn Nordine's going to kick 10 field goals. And Matt, I said, if that's what it takes, Jim Harbaugh doesn't care. If he's got, you know, Quinn Nordine is a difference, and Quinn's got to kick 10 field goals and they win 30-29 or whatever I said it was, all they care about is a win. They do not care about anything else. Jason Hughes says, got no prediction, can't figure out the offense, but defense will not give up over 21. Yeah, I mean, that'd be stretching it. I have Penn State 21-14, and I think that's as far as Michigan's defense, you know, that's about the high right there. Matt the Destroyer 2 says, I live in Ohio, so the Ohio State game means bragging rights. Yes, it does, Matt. And I'm sure all the people surrounding you just love it. Just love it. They've had a lot to brag about lately, but I think, I still think Michigan loses to Ohio State this year. But eventually it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to continue forever. We'll find out. I guess we'll see a little bit what Michigan's made out of when it comes to Penn State. But Ohio State was definitely a game I saw Michigan losing this year. Only because they've only won three times since 2000. So, Trill City, who has Penn State played at home that's any good? That is a good question. I don't know their schedule offhand, but I'm going to... Pitt, and I don't know if Pitt was necessarily that good. It was it's an in-state rivalry game, though. Indiana's not that bad of a team, as you saw this past week with Michigan. I mean, the Hoosiers gave Michigan a little bit of a run. So, this was, not even arguably. I mean, the Florida game was pretty big for Michigan, but, I mean, this is the biggest game of the year, I think, for both teams. I think that's fair to say. I mean, and Michigan's really played, this is the third pretty big game for Michigan. So, I mean, Michigan should, if anything, is probably getting a little bit used to that big pressure environment, right? I mean, Penn State had it a little bit with Pitt at home, but I mean, and going to Iowa, of course, I mean, that's a tough game, but I mean, Michigan opened the season against Florida and Dallas. That was a huge game, huge national game. I mean, then the game against Michigan State. Michigan State's turning out to be a little bit better than I expected, and I think what some people expected. And to be fair, there are a lot of people who thought, you know, aren't surprised at all. I'm not surprised that Michigan State's rebounding, but it really looks, if you would have told me through 6 weeks, and I know the Big Ten season just got started, but Michigan State's, you know, tied for first in the Big Ten East. If you would have told me that was going to be the case this season, I thought, you know, get bowl eligible, and that would be pretty good following 3-9. So anyway, yeah, this is the third pretty big game for Michigan, and you could certainly argue it is the biggest. Number two, Penn State. Happy Valley, night game, whiteout, game day is going to be there. Mike Zabrowski says pick six for Michigan. Matt the Destroyer says MSU has the most thuggiest player of any team, except maybe Baylor. I think that's a generalization, but I'm not going to pretend and sit here that Mark D'Antonio hasn't had some let's call them bad apples, I guess. And I'm thinking back to the Rather Hall thing, Glenn Winston, and all that back in like 2008. RJ Shelton with a gun, Demetrius Cooper spitting at a parking officer. Of course, you know, last year with the four players dismissed, three dismissed in connection to one case, the other dismissed in connection to a different case, who actually was one of the guys. Austin, and I'm not laughing, I don't mean to laugh, but Austin Robinson was Robertson was one of the guys who tipped off about Coralie Vance and Josh King, yet he turns around and does something similar. So, but yeah, Mark D'Antonio's had some issues. He certainly has. Jason Hughes says, Matt the Destroyer says, I'm in Warren, Ohio. Jason, is it? I've heard that Warren, Ohio, is like a lot like Flint. Is that true? Dwayne Hill says Penn State got their cymbals kicked in the last 2 years. I think Michigan will win. Trill City says I agree. Matt the Destroyer, their players are from the streets. Chris Hawk says by rights, LJ deserves to sit for Indiana game 7 times. Sends wrong message. I mean, and Chris, I'm to say that he'll immediately come out and play. I mean, 7 times, yeah, that is excessive. And I think, I mean, a 1-game suspension, suspend him for a half. His license is good now, and he's paid all of his fines, and he's in good standing and everything. I'll read directly, because I posted this on my Facebook page. This is the quote from Mark D'Antonio says, "In what has been a lengthy process, LJ Scott now has a valid driver's license free of any restrictions. He has resolved the matter completely and has paid a price, both financially and publicly. His status will be affected for Saturday's game, but he will play." So, I mean, nothing specific. I would expect he probably, you know, he sits the first half is probably my guess. Caleb Vance says, "Michigan is going to have to do what Michigan State did to them." Frank Lucas says, "I think this backfield should be a two-headed monster with Higdon and Walker with Evans at the slot." Eric 313 says Higdon will be the X factor. Trill City says, "What did MSU do to who?" Well, it was a pretty good pass rush. I think Michigan State got it. John O'Korn sacked him 4 times, so I think that's what he's saying. Michigan's D line's got to do that. Got to get to McSorley, the way that Michigan State got at O'Korn. Sean Holst says, "Was thinking if Michigan's D line is getting pressure on Penn State's line, they might have to keep Gesicki and or Barkley back to help contain the pressure. Could hinder their passing game a bit." Trill City, "What's going on with Penn State's corners?" I'm not aware. I don't know. Dwayne Hill, "Numbers don't matter when on the field." Matt the Destroyer says, "Our whole team's going to need to step up if we want to win." And it's effort of the year, I think, for Michigan. You have to have it. Everything. I mean, the defense will be there. I mean, there's no question. Can the offense be there? Wednesday, Tim Drevno spoke with reporters. I wasn't able to make it down there, but I watched the video, and Tim Drevno was talking about back in 1993. He was a groundskeeper for the Bozeman Bucks. It's an American Legion baseball team. So as soon as I was like glued to this. You can find the interview on YouTube, and I actually included it in my last article. And he's talking about, he was mowing the outfield, and he was really thirsty, so he went around back and found a well, and he pumped it, nothing came out. So he went back and he mowed. He came back, pumped it, and went back and mowed, and he started thinking, like, you know, what if that next pump was going to be the one? So he goes back, pumps it again, nothing. Finally, he returns, and he's pumping, nothing, and he's like, you know, this thing's got to go, and he just keeps pumping, and bam, water. I feel like it has to be with Michigan. I refuse to believe that Michigan's offense is going to be like this for the entire season, that there is no firepower. There is a lot of talent there, and to see the lack of firepower is more surprising than anything. So think of Michigan this weekend, pumping the well, and they better hope that some water comes out, because if not, it's going to be a long night against Penn State. Penn State's got a tremendous offense. Tremendous. Leads the Big Ten, or second Big Ten, I think, scoring offense, right behind Ohio State. Okay, let me see. Grant Canfield says Michigan wins this. They won't lose again. Michigan will be ready to rock. Damian Kuhn says Drevno said priming the well. Maybe we get some water. Penn State may aim to get up early, but who doesn't? And will their spirit get killed if they don't? We need to take away confidence, not the opposite. Matt the Destroyer 2 says, "I swear though, Mark D'Antonio searches for bad apples." I don't think that's the case, Matt. He's had a lot of pretty good guys too. I mean, there's that element, I think, wherever you go. And yeah, Mark D'Antonio, I think, publicly has had his share. I'll say that, but I don't think that he purposely goes out and says, you know what, this kid's got questionable character, let's bring him on the team. I do think, though, that the whole Austin Robertson shouldn't even have been at Michigan State. And, you know, he had well-documented behavior, severe behavior issues. So, but to say that he searches out, you know, bad players, I think is inaccurate. Trill City says, do Nittany Lions have any wide receivers that are semi-Cobs? They have, well, not that big body type. I mean, I think Deshaun Hamilton's around 6'2", 190. Saeed Blacknell, similar size. I mean, Simi Cobbs is just a big body receiver that's a matchup. I was paying a lot of attention to just watching Brandon Watson line up against Simi, and it was just like, Simi's like this tall, Brandon's like this tall. It was just complete, at least when you look at, you know, head-to-head. You're like, wow, Simi Cobbs. Brandon Watson held his own, though. Brandon Watson really did. Michigan secondary, if you want to talk about a surprise of the season, this was supposed to be the weak link, right? Oh, the young corners, these guys. And that was a question that I had, too. And they gave up some big plays a little bit. He got torched. I remember LeVert Hill not even looking. He got torched on a ball against Florida. But, I mean, look at the way that these guys have played so far. It's like they got a top five passing defense. I think it's number one in terms of yards allowed. I mean, it's not just rush defense that's skewing the stats. For these guys, it's complete package. Pass defense, run defense. There's four guys on the Bednarik watch list right now. I mean, I know people have talked about Clemson's defense, but I mean, really, if you look at by the numbers, and I know Clemson's got, you know, some first and second round defensive linemen, and that's great, but I mean, Michigan's got some really good young players that, I mean, Josh Metellus, I believe, is going to play on Sundays. I think Josh Metellus is, I think Tyreek Kinnell is working his way there. I mean, if you look at LeVert Hill, David Long, I mean, these guys, it's not a long shot to project Sundays for any of these guys, I think. They are that good, and they're showing it this year. LeVert Hill has been just one of the better corners in the Big Ten. And for him to get compared to Jordan Lewis, I mean, I think that's, you know, People aren't just throwing, you know, sometimes people like to just throw names around, but these are guys who played with Jordan Lewis who are saying this. Tyree said, yeah, he sees some Jordan in LeVert Hill. Aaron Wise says, if we could win this game, I think we get by Wisconsin the confidence boost they need to line Evans up in the slot. Quick slant passes, let him work in space. Kennedy Cameron says, Penn State's going to win by 13+. If Michigan can't move the ball and change the field, Mark Dant. Trill City says Mark D'Antonio loves thugs. Always wanted a few bad apples here and there. I don't think that's true. Jason Hughes, what is Flint like? Flint is like, well, Buick City. Buick was huge. I mean, GM was huge here. So, I mean, in the early, mid-80s, people were living really, really well. Throughout the 80s, I mean, I remember, like, my uncle was an electrician at GM. My other uncle worked at GM. It seems like everybody's parents worked at GM almost, and you know, people had, you know, nice cars, pools in the backyard, lived in a nice little suburban neighborhood, and you know, there was really a nice working class in Flint. And then basically GM left, and if you've ever seen the movie Roger and Me, and it kind of created some issues. You know, there were jobs. I mean, I know everybody that I grew up with, at least one member of their family worked for GM, or, you know, worked at Engine South, worked at Buick City, worked at AC Delco, that kind of thing. So, and then I heard Warren was a lot like that too. And then when you remove the industry that built that town, and then you kind of, you know, Flint has a reputation. It's not as bad. I don't think it's as bad as a lot of people make it out to be. It's certainly, if you want trouble, it's like anywhere else, you can find it. But I mean, I live near downtown Flint. It's nice college-y atmosphere with University of Michigan Flint here. Mott College is right around the corner. You know, the neighborhood I live in is decent. Flint's not all, you know, boarded up houses and desolation. So, and I've heard that Warren was comparable to that. So anyway, a brief history on Flint, Michigan. Eric313 says, Gary's matchup against the redshirt freshman tackle will make it hard for Penn State to throw the ball efficiently. Dale Terry says, let's go. Go Blue. I made the show. Hey, Dale, how you doing? Michael Ardalane says, O-line is the key. I'll get it right, Michael, I promise. Jason Hughes says, Dale Terry, Jimmy G says, thoughts on incorporating more misdirection plays against our biggest opponents like the one MSU did to us? Be more specific, Jimmy. Trill City says, Chris Hawk, I'm serious. Our basketball team and football team needs a few thugs to convert to ascending players. Trill City, I meant, are Penn State corners any good? Yeah, Penn State's pretty good defensively across the board. Actually leads the nation with 9 points per game. It's better than Michigan's. Michigan's actually third in the Big Ten. It's Penn State, Wisconsin. Wisconsin's like 13 and a fraction, 13-4, I believe. Michigan's like 13-7, something like that. And Penn State's 9. So Matt Zordich says, Youngstown, baby Jason Hughes. Yeah, and I heard Youngstown. And I think a lot of like Youngstown, Gary, Indiana, Flint, Michigan, I think a lot of those towns in some ways are similar. Just, you know, former, you know, big centers for industry, and then industry leaves, and that's it. So I'm really into like geography and that kind of stuff. And, you know, people talk about the Midwest, the Rust Belt and all that stuff. So Nicholas Lipinski says, McSorley was sacked once in non-conference play and 13 times in the first three Big Ten games. I think our defense will make him suffer. Mike Zabrowski says, what's the difference for you that is making you pick Penn State? Is it Michigan's offensive struggle? Mike, yeah, that is the major thing. That is, because I think we're going to see two really good defenses. Obviously, Michigan has the advantage in that regard. But I do think, I mean, you have to score points to win. And what team do I think is going to be able to score more points? Well, it's Penn State, because the numbers are there, the players are there, the proof is there. Michigan is still, okay, how long am I going to pump this well to find out? You know, Tim Drevno is going to pump it forever. For me, I'm six games through the season, and I'm saying I don't see a whole lot, and it's a surprise. So is the water going to burst this weekend against Penn State? That's the question. That's the big question. Trill City says, Michigan, hold on, I got to read this one because I think it might be good. Michigan seems to have tried misdirection but are not getting off the snap fast enough to create the spacing. And anything like that, if it's not going to the left side, it's not working. Brian Schaefer says, GM left, the Dayton family took over. Just kidding. Okay, Brian, the Dayton family were really big in the mid to late 90s. Really big. I like Dayton family. Older stuff. Flint was big in the rap scene. Flint athletics. I mean, Flint, if you think about it, Flint's been involved in all kinds of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of famous people. I mean, Terry Crews is from Flint. He went to Southwestern. Rick Leach is from Flint. Mark Ingram's from Flint. There are all kinds. Basketball, football, hockey, golf. This guy, Willie Mack, he's a pro right now. He went to Flint Central. I mean, there are so many people, actors, I'm forgetting his last name. Forgive me. McCree's a comedian. He's been on Comedy Central. I actually saw him at this Comedy Connections place in Lansing. But anyway, yeah, Flint has bred a ton of talent in the Flint area, too. There's something about Flint. I don't know what it is. Sherwoody14 says, any thoughts on why Michigan isn't throwing more slants and quick, easy passes? Seems like everything takes time to develop unless that's John O'Core not pulling the trigger. I think it's part of its protection, Sherwoody14. And a lot of times, and John mentioned this, and okay, on TV, you know, or we see a play that's open, but that wasn't even part of, you know what I mean? That's like, okay, there's a go route that's open, but really the object was a 5-yard slant. And I mean, they're throwing shorter routes. As far as why more slants and quick, easy passes, I mean, yeah, I would think that they'd use the tight ends more. I mean, there's just so many. I just don't see any confidence. I don't know. That's a good question for O'Korn, Drevno, and probably Harbaugh. By, you know, but again, it's Jim Harbaugh has mentioned this in the past. Last week said, you know, if the call works, then it was a great play. If it didn't work, then it's questionable, and you know, the play calling's not there. So I think right now, Michigan, instead of thinking, why isn't Michigan doing this, why isn't Michigan doing that, it's really back to the basics, like execution. I mean, just catch the ball. I feel like that's the main focus. Four Masterful says he expects a lot of, hold on here, Hudson on Barkley when Barkley is out at wide receiver. I agree. Devin Bush and Kalik are going to be big on them. And Kalik, I think, on Mike Gesicki too. For Masterful says, I also expect to see more multiple tight end sets from us this game. I think so too, and because it gives added protection as well. Sherwoody says, Flint has a Heisman. You just said it, Mark Ingram. Yep, even though, he went to Grand Blanc. I think he went to Southwestern for like a year or a semester, so. But, yep. But Rick Leach, Jim Harbaugh's favorite athlete, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever to play at Michigan. He was also drafted by the Toronto Blue Jays. Jim Abbott's my favorite player ever. Olympic gold medalist. Played at the University of Michigan. Threw no-hitter with the Yankees against the Indians. And, that's pretty much, that's what I'm saying. Like, growing up in Flint, it was cool because there was all kinds of, Andre Rison, Courtney Hawkins. You know, there were all these guys that you would see on TV or you have their card. And a lot of it, because I collected cards and I'd flip them and I made my own little side set of guys who were from Michigan. And then I found somebody was like, oh man, this guy's from Flint, Michigan. Because, we didn't have the internet. We couldn't just look up everything. You know, I had to get like almanacs and magazines and that kind of stuff. And, you start finding out as a kid, and I started, asking my Uncle Guy and, some other, my friends' dads and stuff, and friends who were into sports, like, hey, who was this guy? And come to find out, there are a ton of, really good Steve Smith, he played quarterback at Michigan. He actually I grew up in Swartz Creek. Steve Smith went to Swartz Creek before he transferred to Grand Blanc. He played at Michigan. He had a son, Gage, who was, started at Swartz Creek, ended up at Lake Fenton. Gage was also a quarterback. So, you have, it's almost like every high school around here has somebody. Brandon Carr went to Flint Carmen Ainsworth. Dan Scuda went to Flint Carmen Ainsworth. You have Miles Bridges from Flint. He was at Southwestern before he transferred. So, there's so many guys. Saginaw is like that, too. All right, guys, any other questions? Hold on, I see something about Warren, Ohio. I want to read this. I'm going geek mode on you guys today. Jason Hughes says, yes, thanks, Adam. Yes, that is Warren, Ohio, exactly. We are a great steel city and also GM town, too. All is gone, but we've always had bad crime. Most say we're cursed, but we did have a pipeline to the University of Michigan. I think towns like this breed guys. Athletes. I was watching this thing earlier. SB Nation did a video on Muck City. It's Pahokee and Belgrade. Down in Florida, the Everglades, and showing how they like chase rabbits, and their little town, Pahokee's the smaller of the two, and Belgrade's the larger kind of. It's all poor, relatively speaking. All these guys, it's not a well-to-do area at all, and these high schools Pahokee High School had like five guys active in the NFL at one time, and this Muck City Bowl they were talking about is like the Super Bowl of the Everglades. Because high school football, as you guys know, is really big in Florida. So check that out. I like the stories. I think the town, where the area that you're from, it does shape your attitude a lot. And I'll end the show on this, guys, because Kalik Hudson, Chase Winovich, those guys have a lot of Pennsylvania pride. Pennsylvania high school football is the real deal. That Pittsburgh area grit Chase Winovich was talking about. So you have to think. That that's going to come into play, and Kalik and Chase are two of Michigan's better defensive players. So I think that I expect big games out of those guys. They're going to be John O'Korn's got a connection to Penn State. You take all that in consideration, but it's nice to think about. But at the end of the day, like I said, I just don't see Michigan's offense being able to outscore Penn State. So with that said, I'll end on one more comment. For Masterfuls, this is a good one. I believe we have found that we have to take more of a power set approach. We tried to be more diverse this year on offense. Maybe we tried too much too soon and realized that. And for Masterfuls, I'll add, Mason Cole even agreed, when they're downhill running, and he said the linemen like that, that's when they're at their best. And I think, Caron Higdon this past Saturday against Indiana, 25 carries for 200 yards, 3 touchdowns. I think Caron was indicative of that. So, guys, I want to thank you for watching the live stream today. Really appreciate it. Again, it's at 825 subscribers. There are a ton of different podcasts that you can watch on here. or a lot of other guys posting videos for interviews, but I appreciate all the views. I appreciate all the comments and everything. So without the participation from you guys, I'm just talking to myself, and that's boring. So thanks a lot. Follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. Follow the podcast at Mitten Sports MI. Search on Facebook and like Sports in the Mitten. Again, you can find the audio-only version on iTunes, FanRag Sports Blog Talk Radio Channel. Follow FanRag Sports at FanRag_U, FanRagSports.com, and read all my Michigan and Michigan State stuff. I'll be at Michigan State versus Indiana tomorrow. I'll have something Sunday, a follow-up. I'm going to be at watch Michigan State, Indiana, and then haul ass home, watch Michigan and Penn State, and have a follow for Sunday morning on Michigan and Penn State. So thanks again for watching. Appreciate it. Good talk. Talk to you guys next time. Have a good weekend.